think I'll stay over on this side this morning because this microphone is working rather better than the one that I'm wearing. I'm afraid I can't resist taking as my text this morning Jesus' words in John 16:16. In a little while you will no longer see me, yet a little while and you will see me. In my own case, of course, the dates are fixed. In a little while means Wednesday, round about 12 noon, when I will slip out of the life of the parish. And you will again see me in church on Sunday, the 18th of March next year. In the case of our Lord, the date is not fixed. And Advent is all about reminding ourselves that we are waiting for Jesus to come again in his glorified humanity. Advent is popularly understood to be a sort of countdown to Christmas. That's its secondary function. Its primary liturgical thrust is to the second coming of Jesus, that for which we wait, for which we have long waited, and we do not know how long it will be. But it takes the form of the return of Christ in his glorified humanity. In other words, what we're waiting for the church is not the creation of an ideal state of affairs, not in themselves the reign of wonderful truth and justice and peace upon the earth, but actually the return of a person. And in this, as in every other way, Christian faith is deeply about persons. That's really what I want to reflect on this Advent Sunday. I'd like to share with you three almost random encounters or events or things that have crossed my consciousness in the course of the last few days, and a couple of them will have crossed your consciousnesses as well, which raise this theme of humanity and humanity in relation to technology. Take first the story that the Royal Bank of Scotland is about to close a very large number of branches, so that quite substantial places in Scotland will be without any bank branch. You have to make a very long journey to a major city if you want to deal with a human being, person to person, and you will have to have access to the internet and bank online just to run the ordinary management of your account. Now, we know all about bank branch closures here because we started this year with 3 bank branches in St John's Wood, and we've gone down to 1, and the one that remains is operating on reduced operating hours. From the point of view of the bank, it makes complete commercial sense. It reduces costs considerably, and when you then put in algorithms to decide on mortgage applications or overdraft applications, you save more cost of expensive human beings, and from the bank management's point of view, you get better commercial results, because on the whole, the algorithms will in the long run make better decisions than the human beings make. So the two forces are irresistible in a world where the commercial profit is the governing consideration. But what's stripped out, whether with the removal of the branches or the removal of a human being from the making of the decisions, is humanity. The persons are going, and what's left is the technology that decides and that we must use and have access to if we're to get anywhere at all. Well, that's vignette number one. Scene number two. On Friday evening, I found myself rather unexpectedly at an event at the Polish Embassy in Portland Place. I have no idea how I came to be invited to this talk, but I was very pleased to be there because one of the speakers was a friend from many years ago in Cambridge. He was then an extremely brilliant young theologian. And we had daughters of exactly the same age. Indeed, our terrifyingly intelligent 4-year-olds were the terror of the Sunday school teachers at Little St. Mary's. They used to ask extraordinarily difficult questions. So it's lovely to catch up with him. And in the meantime, I've been aware of his extensive publications, which are they're beyond me, actually. He's very, very difficult to understand. He's been professor of theology and social thought at a major university. I think I won't name it, but it's a Russell Group university in a big provincial town, what used once to be called a red brick university. So I caught up with him and I said, you know, how's Arabella? And he said, how's Maria? And we caught up with that sort of stuff. And then I said, well, what are you doing? And because I heard you being introduced as the professor emeritus. Yes, he said, I took early retirement 2 years ago. I couldn't bear it any longer. And he went on to say, it's an utter scandal what is happening in British universities, and it ought to be the subject of much public debate and discussion. Because what's come in is a world that has nothing at all to do with teaching and learning, with study and with scholarship, with deep reflection. It's all become about the buying and selling of particular kinds of commodity. And the process is managed by people whose background is not in education, but in professional management skills. And he said, I gave up when I heard that there was a serious suggestion being floated that cameras should be put into the professors' offices to check on the hours that they spend in their offices. Because the management can't conceive of the idea that scholarship is a thing that happens in libraries, in common rooms, in conversations. It's about the interactions between human beings. It's not about people sitting in offices doing their productive, quote-unquote, work. I couldn't bear it any longer, and I took early retirement. And at least that meant that a younger person wasn't made redundant, because if I'd stayed, somebody would have been, a younger person with a family and a mortgage still to pay, and so on. Scene 2.